good to see everyone this morning. Y'all still came even knowing that I was doing the class. Yeah. Well, after everyone gets seated, we'll get started. Our lesson, it's not a lesson, it's a Bible class. Please interrupt as you have a comment. I do not want to talk the whole time. I do like to talk, but just not the whole time. It's based on another lesson called Bury Not Thy Talent. So we're going to be talking about the parable of the talents. But before we get there, I want to read 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 9, going through verse 15. I want you to keep this passage in the back of your mind while we're going through this Bible study. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 9 and reading through verse 15. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. In verse 9, what do we see in verse 9 right there? What is God's attitude towards us? Long-suffering, because He doesn't want anyone to perish, right? He doesn't want the most evil man or woman you can think of to perish, but to repent. That's a hard thought right there, really. There's some evil people out there. We've seen some evil in this world lately. But God would rather them repent and us accept them into His church as He adds them to His church, just like some of the best people we know, right? 10 through 13, we see kind of a little bit of a warning that the day of the Lord could come at any time. Be ready, right? And then in verses 14 through 15, we need to be sure to be found in Him. So let's keep this in mind as we cover the parable of the talents. Anyone tell me where the parable of the talents is? Matthew 25. Did someone say it? I thought so. I thought I heard it. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14 and going through 30. I will read this, and then I'm going to have other people start reading, but these long ones, I feel bad pinning them on anybody. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. This is Jesus speaking here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will be abundant, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, did anyone not have a talent in this parable? Does anyone not have a talent in this world? That's right. Everyone has a talent. Everyone has something that they can do. It may not be the best at what they do, but they have something that they can succeed at. Right? So, let's start thinking about our own talents. But, are they really our talents? In this passage, were they the people's talents, or were they lended to them? God has given us these talents to use, not to just hold in, right? God owns the talents. He gave them to us, right? That's something that I hadn't picked up on that in the countless number of times that I have read this parable. I've never caught that these were His that He gave to these servants. All right, so, I'm sorry. They were money. A talent is money, but metaphorically, we all have something that's unique to us that we can use. And the Lord didn't give these men, or servants, any more talents than what they could handle. Okay, He didn't give the one that should have received 2 the 5 and said, go do something with this. Maybe because he might have taken those 5, pocketed 3, used the 2. You know, who knows what he would have done. But he tried to say, look, you can handle 2, so I'm giving you 2. And having said that, we don't all have the same talents, right? We don't all have the same abilities. All right. So no 2 people are alike. But having said that, the Lord is very fair. And how he treats us. He didn't expect 5 talents out of the one who only received 2 or 1. He didn't, but at the same time, he didn't expect only 2 out of the one that had 5. He's very fair with how he deals with us. All right. I need some people to start looking up some passages. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Begin in verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Okay, so now that we all know that we have talents, one of the things we need to do is we need to recognize what those talents are, what those gifts are that God has given us, and then what do we need to do with them? According to this scripture here, we need to be about His work, right? We need to work with our talents. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And someone gets there if they'd like to read that. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. These works, these extra talents that, I'm about to rip this thing off. The extra talents that these men got, were they, were they merited? Did they merit the, I guess, reward of the Lord? Like, is because they had extra talents? Is that what they said? They couldn't have argued with him. He said, no, you need to have done more, you know? This passage here shows us that it's not our works that gets us our reward, right? It's just that we did the works that God put out in front of us. Okay? We did those things, but it's not because it's of our own merit. We can never earn our way into heaven. We can never earn our way into the kingdom. But God still expects us to work for His kingdom, right? Okay. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. This is a long one. If someone is brave and wants to read this one, they can. Otherwise, I will read Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. 1 through 16, yes, sir. This parable here, spoken by Jesus, is known usually as the parable of the workers or the parable of the vineyard. I wanted to look at this because I've heard, not from this congregation, but I've heard before, maybe more seasoned Christians, with the white on their heads, or the lack of white, or lack of hair, period, on their heads, no offense, Rick, say, that is a young man's game, going out and walking the streets, door knocking, doing whatever it may be. I'm not of age anymore where that, you know, I've done that when I was his age. We need to get the young people doing that, you know. And there are some tasks probably that we need to make sure our young people are doing. But it doesn't excuse us from doing what we need to do, right? So, in this parable here, we see some men that were hired for a denarius for the whole day, to work the whole day. And they agreed to it. Okay, so now let's step into our Christian boots. We as Christians know that if we obey the gospel, we will receive heaven. And we are okay with that. We agree and accept those terms. Now back into our workers' boots. Now there are some others that have been not in the Lord's church, or not working, and our employer goes out and gets them, and they start working too, and man, we're all working good. Well, back into our Christian boots, we were those people that maybe came to the gospel later in life, okay? Or maybe we're young, just period, young. And now we're working alongside these guys that have been working for a long time, and we're doing good. Back into our laborer's boots, our work boots. Now we have some guys that, man, there's only about an hour left in the day to work, but they got hired anyways by our employer because they needed some work. And our employer, he is a good guy. And he wants everybody to work, earn an honest living, and supply, you know, the needs for their families, right? Now back into our Christian boots, we have some members that come to Christ really late in life. They come really late in life. You know, but God still wants their souls. Right? We remember 2 Peter 3 verse 9, right? We read it to begin with, so it would be in the back of our minds during this Bible class. He doesn't want any to perish. Nobody. Okay? So, back into our work boots. I may be the one that came late to the party. You know what? He gave me a denarius for my 1 hour of work. That is great. I am thrilled, right? And then the next guy, he's like, well, you know, I've been here for a few hours. A denarius is good. It's good. I'll take it. Thank you. And then we have the ones that have been out there working all day in the heat. You know, they watch these others come in and, they got the same denarius. They agreed to it though, at the beginning, right? But they expected more because that guy got more. This guy got the same amount as us. That guy only worked for an hour, you know? Or 4 hours, or whatever it may be. Our reward in Christ is the same whether we are a mature Christian, an early Christian, an old Christian that's been in or a young Christian, right? So, when it comes to our works, when it comes to our labors in the kingdom, it doesn't matter if you're old or young, been in the church for years and decades or, 3 months. We all need to keep working, right? We need to keep using those talents. Let's look at, it's in Titus. I think it's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Kind of going off script here, so bear with me. Okay, yeah, Titus chapter 2. We see some of the things that maybe our quote-unquote older members can do to help use their talents to teach the younger, right? Titus chapter 2. If I could have someone read beginning in verse 1, and go on down to verse 8. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Okay, so we see that not only are we supposed to be sober-minded in all the list here as members, but then the older members are told, hey, you need to exhort and encourage your younger members. I think it's funny. I think someone told me this, and I did a little bit of research, kind of off topic. I think this is the only place where women are told to love their husbands. And it's kind of like, hey, teach them to learn to love them because they're hard to love, you know? I thought that was funny. I think that's the only place it's ever said is in this passage right here. So, but men, we're told all over the place to love our wives. Just want to throw that out there. But these things here, I know that I look up to our older members, so that I don't embarrass anybody. The one that I look up to right now is my grandfather. He's not a member here. He was an elder at the church in Del Rio for a long time and now resides in Blanco, where he makes sure that he is an active member. Now there are times when my grandmother cannot make it to services. She's in poorer health than him. But he makes sure that she's taken care of, and then he makes it to services. And he'll wait on the table, and he'll still say prayers. But he does not do the things that he used to do when he was younger. But that doesn't stop him from still doing things, right? He does what he can. Now, he's getting hard to move around. He doesn't move around as well either. His legs are a little stiffer now. So a lot of times he says his prayer from the pew. He doesn't go up to the mic. But he says it loud enough where everyone can hear. You know, those are important things, and he does what he can. We all get to that point where we're going to be limited physically on what we can do, but our work still needs to be with the same attitude to further God's kingdom. So here, please encourage us young people on how to live. You know, I appreciate it when Rick gets after my kid in front of me because it's embarrassing. But it helps me remember that I have a little kid running around and stop talking so much sometimes and make sure I'm watching him out of the corner of my eye. I'm not a teacher, so I never got the eyes in the back of the head. Never got that. But, you know, that's a reminder to me on how to raise my children. To be sure that I'm being a parent and not just an adult, you know. Alright, let's move on. That was kind of off the script, but I thought it was important to look at those things. Are there any comments? Please. we're gonna run out of stuff before we run out of time. That's true. And to that point, we've done door knockings here before gospel meetings, and it is a great privilege when I go back to my regular work during the week, and my coworkers ask me, hey, what did you do this weekend? I like getting to tell them, oh, I did a door knocking. They're like, well, what's a door knocking? And I tell them exactly what that is. You know? And they may not ever ask me again after that about it. But hey, I got to talk about it. It's a privilege, and it's nice to get to do things like that for the community, you know? Alright, moving on. James chapter 1, verse 25, if someone would read that, please. It's important to study our Bibles, is it not? Everyone would agree with that. If we're going through the bookshelf looking for a book to read and we just don't have our mindset, wouldn't it be best if we just grabbed this one right here and read? But is that enough? Do we need to treat this like a novel, you know, or you know, just an encyclopedia or something like that? This needs, you know, we have different cultures in the world, but this should be our culture, right? This should be our culture right here. We shouldn't have a, you know, a West Texan culture over our Christian culture. So when we're studying, we need to be what, according to this here? This passage that Don just read. Anybody? It's not a trick. Yeah, doer. A doer, not a hearer only. John chapter 9, verse 4. We're going to see a great example here in John chapter 9, verse 4. Who's speaking right there? Anybody? Jesus. Did that man have to merit his way into heaven? Anybody? No way. He came from heaven, right? He left heaven to come here. And he partied, right? Had a good old time on earth. No. No, he didn't. He lived sinless. And even that wasn't enough, so he decided to go to work too, right? So, our time spent here on earth, you know, we know that our internal person is meant for heaven. Our soul's not meant to stay on earth, right? Our body's meant to stay on earth. It's made from the earth. It's going to decay. But our internal soul, is it meant for earth? No. Is it meant for hell? Who was hell created for? Devil and his angels. Not for our souls. That's where some of our souls might go. Right? Yes, ma'am. Verse 5. Okay. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yeah. That's true. Which means that, what? It's temporary, right? This world, our time here on this world is temporary. So, what does the name Christian mean? I mean, Christ-like, right? We use it like we would disciples of Christ, right? Disciples, followers of Christ. So Christ-like. If we are to be Christ-like, what do we have to do in this verse? According to this verse right here. Workers. Yes. That's right. All right. Let's go back into our parable a little bit in Matthew chapter 25. Just have it open there so we can discuss. So we need to be, who do we need to be like according to this verse? We need to be about like the two-talent man, the five-talent man, one-talent man, both five and two-talent, A and C. We need to be the ones that produce, right? That's the answer, the ones that produce. So we don't need to be like the one-talent man. We don't need to bury our talents beneath the earth. Several things can be our earth, right, that we bury our talents in. For example, indifference. We don't care if any growth happens in the Lord's church. We're just indifferent about it. You know, as long as we, you know, are okay, the work out there doesn't, you know, it's, indifference or unconcern. So, maybe just pure laziness. You know, we care about what's going on out there. We care about doing the work. But man, that football game is really fun. Hanging out with my friends is really fun. So there's an earth that we can bury it in. But when we do that, all we're doing is what? What are we doing? We're making excuses. Making excuses. The one talent man, didn't he make some excuses? What was one of those excuses that he made? That hard master. That's right. He had the wrong conception of his Lord. Right? Yeah. The Lord is a hard master. But he's a loving master too. You can read that all over in the Bible. In fact, a lot of today's denominations are built around God as love, right? They forget about God as, what, jealous? You know? He's an angry God at times. They don't want to read those passages. They just like that God is love. Well, this man forgot that God is love. This man forgot that part. He went to the other extreme. Oh yeah. Because they get reprimanded, right? He's just unfair. He's hard on me because I just couldn't get to that. You know, I needed to sit here for a second, catch my breath or whatever. Yeah, he didn't have like a reverent love or a reverent fear. I'm sorry. Yeah, he had a fear that stopped him in his tracks. Now there's a use for that kind of fear too though, isn't there? When we're living a sinful life and we become aware of that sinful life, we need to be fearful and stop in our tracks. Repent. But from that moment on, God is still love, right? God is still love, and that fear becomes more of a reverent fear. A fear like what we would have, walking into a government building or something to the highest commander, you know? Maybe not with our current high commander, I don't know. Don't want to get into that. But, you know, still, you have respect, I guess, for the authority, and it, because of that, you do things so you won't get punished by that authority. That brings us to our next one. He was afraid. That was one reason why he did what he did. He had the wrong conception, the misconception of the master. It wasn't necessarily wrong, because he agrees, yeah, I am a hard master. But that's just because I expect results. That's what it was. He just expected some results. He wouldn't even been that mad if he took it to the bank, according to some of these verses, right? If you'd just gone to the bank, put it in the bank, and I got some interest, that would have been okay. That would have been better than what you did. So he was afraid, and we just went, yes, sir. A great example of that is me right here in front of you right now. I am not excelling. Some people are closing their eyes, okay? I get it. It's cool. It's a long night. I understand. I'm not that entertaining. But I'm trying to make an effort. I'm not trying to toot my own horn by any means. But there are a lot of people that put in a lot of effort too. You know, and may not see the immediate successes to that note. But God knows what they did. The best athletes are about to compete, you know, in the Rio Games. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they'll all bail out, I don't know. But I guarantee you they worked their tails off for 4 years to get ready for that moment. You know, they were given a gift, but it wasn't perfect and it wasn't the best that it could be until they worked at it. So back to the fear factor here that we've been talking about. What's a good verse that we need to remember when we're going into a situation that may be uncomfortable, that we may not necessarily swim in those waters very often, you know? One of them that I see on the back of shirts all the time is in Philippians. Anyone know what chapter and verse that is that I'm talking about? That's right. That says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's not just a neat thing to put on the back of a t-shirt. We need to remember that. That's legit. That's real. Okay? So these uncomfortable situations where our knees are shaking, but we're still trying to do God's will, we need to remember that we can be successful. You know? And then in Romans chapter 8 verse 31, who can be against us if God is for us? Right? Let's remember those things as we go trying to use the talents that were given to us. So, do we need to go move mountains when we go out to do works? When we go out to use our talents that were given to us? Do we need to go tackle a tyrant in a country, you know? Is it maybe just a bunch of small things that add up to something great? You know, Jesus has never been one that overlooked the small things, right? In fact, we have examples like the cup of cold water, or the jot of the law, or the widow's mite. Even Simon carrying the cross for Jesus, that was a small thing. Was Simon putting himself up there on that cross, taking the lashings, going through the beatings, being stabbed in the side, pierced through the hands and the feet? No. All he did was move that wood from one spot to another and then stood back as Jesus did all those things. Jesus did the great, amazing things, but Simon's still mentioned, isn't he? He's still mentioned there. Alright, we're almost done. Lastly, as we look at this parable here, we have to know that the day of reckoning is coming, right? The master will come back and he will expect something. And when that day comes, are we going to be the ones that say, I'm not worthy of these talents you gave me, but I was able to produce something here. I was able to increase these talents, increase this for you. You know, are we going to be the one that said, this is yours? I had some other stuff that, came up. So, you know, I just want to give this back to you. No, we don't want to be that guy. We don't want to have those excuses because they're not going to get us very far. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, we read about people that did great, wondrous works in the name of the Lord. And when God says, depart, when Jesus says, actually depart from me, they don't get it. They start coming with excuses, but we did this and we did this and we did this. It's not what God wanted them to do, apparently, was it? It's not what Jesus wanted them to do, apparently. Let's get back in this book, find out what we need to start doing. And let's use those talents. Let's use those gifts that God has given us to further His Word. Even the small things. Even the coming up to somebody and saying, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Those little bits of encouragement, they're worth something. They're worth something. Class is y'all's. Thank you.